This is the musical for Sona, the recap show, recapping and kneecapping The Masked Singer on Fox in the United States and God knows where, all across the rest of the world. I'm Moises Chuyan. Joining me are the nuclear ticking time bomb, Kelly Gamont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm great. You want to know why? Because joining us is the tipsy, dipsy unicorn herself, Kathy Campbell. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing great. I'm ready for this, I think.
The three of us randomly decided that this was a good idea. We're going to find out if it was a good idea as we recap the first couple episodes of this show that have already aired. And there were such delightful, magical trash garbage that we felt compelled to start a recap show for no good reason other than good, clean, filthy, terrible fun. To start off with, I feel like we should assess the judging panel. We'll get to the people behind the masks and the singing and all that kind of stuff. What do you think of good old Robin Thicke, Kelly?
You know, honestly, at least for the first couple of episodes, there wasn't enough of him to really aggravate me, I guess. The thing that aggravated me was not so much that he was talking, but that they were making us listen to talking over the singing. So that we didn't, as audience members, we didn't really get a chance to hear a lot of that. So I just sort of, it was very easy to write him off because I would hear a male voice talking and be like, okay, it's not Ken Jeong. And so I could just sort of tune him out.
Kathy, did you like him? Did you hate him? Did you blur the lines a little?
Oh, gosh. I feel like they decided, what judges can we bring on that will be the most problematic, that regardless of what the performances are, will bring conversation to the table? With all of the choices, with the exception of Dr. Jeong, they brought these people that have had interesting pasts, maybe, might be a way to put it.
That's a very nice way of putting it, yeah.
Speaking of interesting pasts, Mrs. Donnie Wahlberg, Jenny McCarthy. few people in the world that I think of most when I try to think of people that I want to hear talking about people singing. Jenny McCarthy.
Yes.
Yes.
I found it very interesting to have her. The other two, Robin and... oh my goodness.
Nicole.
Yeah. I wanted to say Nicole and then I was like, no, that's not her name. But yes, her name is Nicole. They at least have a singing past. For the majority of most like singing shows or dancing shows will usually have people that have a history of dance. Singing shows usually have a history of singing. Is Jenny there just to try and be funny? Like, I don't understand why they chose to bring her on. And she even mentioned it in one of these two episodes where like, oh, this whoever was singing has good, you know, is a good singer. You should know that type of a comment that I was just like, well, that's why? So many whys.
All of the whying.
An expert judging panel comprised of an expert douchebag. Whatever Jenny McCarthy is, Dr. Ken Jeong, who apparently said yes to the show, according to, I think, what he told the TCA panel. He said that his mom is a huge fan of the original South Korean show, and he wanted to do something to finally actually make her proud. I think that's great.
I think he was actually on that panel.
He may have been
on
the South Korean show. The South Korean version is a spectacular show. If you've not seen it, go look up some clips. It's super entertaining.
Stop this podcast right now. Go listen to that.
Because that's going to be way more entertaining than what we're doing here.
Nicole Scherzinger. Did Nicole Scherzinger, was she the one who thought that one of the people was Lady Gaga?
Yes.
Am I remembering that right? So obviously,
was it her?
Obviously she's here for the most outlandishly impossible guesses that stand absolutely no chance of actually.
Yeah, I think she thought it was Lady Gaga, and I think that was the one that Jenny McCarthy thought was Madonna.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the whole formula for this show, is wildly outlandish guesses from the judging panel that are almost, it seems like they're almost intentionally making impossibly bad guesses, and then otherwise are just a little too drunk.
Yeah.
Possible.
Interesting premise there. I believe that they make these outrageous, outlandish guesses strictly for the little intro-outro clips before and after commercials and for other commercials that are running. Because you want Jenny McCarthy to say, "It's Madonna!" So that you can put it with a clip of when they're removing their masks, because at some point everyone is going to be removing their masks, and so you can say, "Hey, this, look, it's Madonna," and it's obviously not Madonna.
In just two episodes, how many instances of "I just have no idea who this could be"?
I started writing those down.
Oh my goodness.
"It's killing me. I'll be thinking about this all day. This is going to drive me crazy. I have no idea who it is," et cetera, et cetera. Like,
yep.
I feel like we need to do a tally for episode 3 when it comes out to count how many of those
there
are.
There should be a bingo card that we fill in 7 times over.
Probably not a drinking game.
No, we would all die.
We would all go to the hospital. Yeah.
Speaking of "It's killing me," as much as I make fun of it, I found myself saying that a few times where I went, "I swear to God, I know who this is. I feel it."
Yes.
And I think all three of us have looked at guesses online. We've gotten, you know, informed speculation from friends, enemies, all kinds of different people. I feel like we should just jump in and just blaze through these. Peacock, first up, I honestly found myself going, this could be David Hasselhoff, but he's way too put together and way too short.
Okay, so let's back up for a second.
I have no way of guessing, but I feel like this is a template for all of these, where I found myself trying to overthink things and then going back and having some things. So how do we want to handle this?
Well, the first thing I want to do is say that now that we've like talked about the show itself a little bit, we're going to start a timer.
Okay.
And we have 15 minutes to discuss the rest of this. So let's start with
that's not
going to
be hard. We can probably do it in 5. Who knows? So
the peacock saying what? The show could have been done in half an hour, but they extended it to a full hour. Additionally, something that I found really interesting while I watched the two separate episodes, rewatched them again. In the first episode, everyone had their height listed. The second episode, no one had their height.
Interesting.
Just had the little strengths tag.
Did they think that was the one thing that was making people that were easier to guess, easy to guess? So Peacock, in the clue reel, we got like playing cards, like some sort of a magician. They mentioned their close personal friend Michael Jackson.
Played piano.
And
had a little dog in his hands.
Some people might refer to it as a puppy. And it took the fact that the entire internet said it was Donny Osmond for me to go back and go, oh yeah, that's right. I've listened to his recording of singing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat far too many times for it to be healthy. Of course, it's Donny Osmond. There's literally nobody else that this could be. And
his friend Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
My poster on your mom's wall. It's been a while. Like,
and they
the last
call
thing.
It puppy love.
Yes. The last thing I can think of that he did of pop culture significance is Weird Al's White and Nerdy video.
Yeah, there was.
And
it.
He wasn't actually even singing in that. And that's been, you know, almost 10 years now, I think.
In terms of showmanship, I think it was really smart for them to lead off with a proven showstopper type talent who knew what they were doing.
Yes. Without the mask, he would have been equally attention getting, I think, you know, in that, because that's Donny Osmond.
It would have been, oh, that's right. Donny Osmond is capable of doing this. He's just, you know, he's a trivia question answer for most
yes.
people.
Yes.
I found it interesting. So far in this pattern of two shows, the very first performer is always very much the attention getting, and the final performer is always like an amazing.
Beast. Yeah.
Yes.
They lost a bet.
Yes,
that was kind of the feeling I got was, you know, it wasn't so much like I really want to be seen in a different light as it was the check didn't bounce.
Yeah.
Well, right after Peacock, we got a football player who was revealed to be Antonio Brown at the end of the episode. And honestly, I didn't think the Deion Sanders guess was bad because I was completely lost. This one was so deeply into the football weeds. It was this is the one yeah. that is for people who watch the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And really,
I was like, oh, this
Super
one
Bowl
is
stuff.
People. I knew it was a football player, and I couldn't narrow down what football player it was because I don't watch football anymore. So I was like, I could be convinced that it's a pro athlete who comes out and say, and he sang, what was the song that he sang?
Great question. It was that memorable.
yeah.
But it was.
Well, part of the reason it was memorable is because he wasn't entirely singing by himself.
Right.
He had some backing vocals with him, yeah. some guiding vocals, I guess, with him.
Yeah. Which Tommy Chong later absolutely did not have. He was just yes. left to hang out in the wind.
Right,
he was.
But it was when this one came up, I found myself going, oh, how many of these are we going to get? And I'm glad that the proportion is much more heavily people who can actually sing.
Yes.
At varying levels of superpower, but they insulated things well. Moving yes. right along to Monster, was I the only one who was absolutely terrified that this could be somebody like Chris Brown or R. Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, I was 100% Chris Brown.
Additionally, with the casting of the judges, having problematic singers is not a problem for them.
Yeah, Jenny McCarthy went straight to, oh, could it be Chris Brown? Real eager.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not a thing you want. No.
That's not that's, excited.
No,
but,
no one wants that Jenny McCarthy.
The world labeled him as a monster was a word that he put out there. And it's just like,
yes.
oh, my gosh.
Now,
yeah.
now this was one that I had my terror inducing stuff. And, of you know, I went to the Internet like so many of us have. And people seem pretty evenly divided that it's. Maybe CeeLo Green, but much, much more certainly T-Pain. CeeLo is still doing concerts and he's not like hiding in a cave.
Yeah.
And
right.
the way that the logic works for T-Pain that gives me some sense of security that it's probably him is that, yeah, he's the guy who brought us Auto-Tune and people have decided he is a monster. Auto-Tune is a horrible thing. It is a curse beyond imagining. It totally makes sense. And I've never heard him sing without Auto-Tune laid over it.
Right. Additionally, with the question, are you a professional singer? And he goes, not to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That would also be a very interesting choice. I could
get with T-Pain.
See that. Yeah.
I went to
yeah.
college in Tallahassee, so here's hoping it's Tallahassee's own T-Pain, and I'll get to see him headline the moon, which is literally a Tallahassee joke that nobody listening to this will understand. Moving right along to Unicorn. Grew up in a very famous neighborhood. Not just Beverly mm-hmm. Hills, but a very famous neighborhood of Beverly Hills. It was accused of being tone deaf, was told that she couldn't. She's going to be in control of her destiny. The one clue that I thought was pretty useless is they call me Bird, because literally yeah. nobody has known what to do with that. Like, mm-hmm. and that is one of the reasons that I think the Internet's guess that it's Tori Spelling is absolutely correct. And if you've
Ooh.
Heard Tori Spelling sing,
really,
it's not far fetched to think that it's Tori Spelling. And she does not have a whole lot going. And I say that as somebody
True.
Who hosted a comic convention panel, her first comic convention panel, that was a joint Q&A between her and Ian Ziering in the fall of 2017. She was like doing radio and podcast commercials for like photo printing services. Her reality TV stuff has totally spent itself. The famous neighborhood is obviously 90210. And yes, she has absolutely been directly accused of being tone deaf, and her she has been told that she couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And there's more than a dozen interviews out there of her talking about how she was stigmatized as being the nepotism laden daughter of the great, great producer. What do you think about the possibility of this actually being Tori Spelling, Kathy?
Well, the fact that they said that she's 5'6" and the internet says that she is also 5'6" is a good sign. For that, I thought the guess of Lindsay Lohan was completely wrong
because
she's off.
Oh,
it was so funny because she's off on another show, like with her resort somewhere that she's
and
doing.
We've
that.
Also heard her sing.
Also true.
However, the tone deaf thing
could still be true.
Yeah, that doesn't mean no one ever said she wasn't tone. That never happened. But
yeah,
but that was the reason I immediately discounted it, was because I'm like, she sang in movies.
And,
like, somebody had to think that
was a
good idea.
And it wasn't so much that people told her that she couldn't achieve her dreams. Drugs told her she couldn't achieve her dreams.
Right.
Yeah, and poor choices. And then the other choices, like, the other suggestions that they came out with were, like, Ireland Baldwin, who is too tall, and Paris Hilton, who is also
too
tall.
And
too New York-y, yeah.
Like, that was why I wrote off Ireland Baldwin.
Yeah. So I am 100% down for Tori Spelling. Like, that is a very good guess. And I would just like to say, if anyone is listening that is related to the show, I would 100% be okay with having that unicorn mask in my office. I'm just saying. Just putting that out there.
If it fell off of a costume truck.
Yes.
Kelly,
yes.
What do you think about unicorn? How do you feel about unicorn?
I think it would be interesting if it was Tori Spelling. All of the clues make sense except the bird one. So I kind of like, because the rest of it checks out, I would very much like to see if that's what happens. That's like, and that's the bulk of what I've got for that.
It came off very much like a thing that a super privileged person who thinks that everybody adores them and pays attention to every tiny bit of minutia about their life would know.
Additionally,
fact,
I just found breaking
knows.
News. Breaking news. I hate to interrupt, but breaking news. The internet says that the word Tori in Japanese means bird. So there you go.
The Japanese they.
Yeah.
The Japanese they call her bird.
It's just in. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy. Thank you for that breaking news from the internet, Kathy.
You're so welcome. I'm glad I could be here and share it with the very vital world that needed to know that.
So dear.
And now here's El Nino with the weather.
So dear.
Yeah.
Dear. Deer would be a lot more challenging if Terry Bradshaw had not been in like a billion different television things over the last 10 years.
Yes.
And A, sang on a bunch of them, and B, even with the voice disguising, Deer didn't talk exactly like Terry Bradshaw talks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huge and intimidating and intense and yep. And for the record, for those following along at home, the height listed on the show is the same as Terry Bradshaw.
And him saying that he loves horses is kind of like Tori Spelling, a thing that is like, that's a thing I love. I bet people know that, I guess. Well, it's not something that is commonly associated with him, and
that's true.
They were
but
speculating
I just took it
on
as
the, go ahead.
Well, I took it as him. Well, I took it as he was he played for the Baltimore Colts.
Oh.
that was what I took it as, was like, oh, and then like, look out, Ravens.
Well,
because the Colts and the Ravens have a rivalry, because that's like the extent of my football knowledge.
Sports ball, I see. Sports ball.
Move
is,
the thing to the other thing, like, because it, they used to be the Baltimore Colts, and now they're the Baltimore Ravens, and the Colts are now in Indianapolis, and so like it was the whole thing. So
finally, that whole thing makes so much more sense.
So that's okay. Why I thought Lookout Ravens was a thing. So I'm like, okay, well, who was like on that team?
Yeah, because
and famous.
I could have sworn that he played for the Steelers, and that was what he was best known for playing as.
Because also, and the other one that I thought of, like, it still could be Lookout Ravens, but he could have been a cowboy, because cowboys would like horses.
Yeah.
Actually, he did play for the Steelers. Once again, breaking news.
Breaking news.
He was
all
for
sports fans already know.
Right? Yeah, he played on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We do not apologize to you sports fans. All right, so Dear AKA Terry Bradshaw, there's literally no way it's anyone else. Moving right along to the queen of the episode, Lion,
man.
Who they've built all of the promotion around. One could say that she's Hollywood royalty. There are lots of women in her pride, which, again, these are celebrities, and I think they're, all celebrities are at least 20% dumb, because they live such an insulated life where they're like, oh, here's a clue that's going to help a lot of people and not be unintentionally misleading because I'm imprecise and famous. What a lot of women constitute, who knows? There are multiple people in this show that people are guessing members of the Kardashian family. Breaking news, none of them sing. Literally none of them sing remotely well, and they're all phenomenally more famous and rich than would need to do this show.
However, granted, a variety of them have done Dancing with the Stars.
This is true.
Just putting that out there.
This is true. So I'm not putting it completely out of the possibility for maybe another one later down the line. But for this one, this is definitely not a Kardashian.
No.
There's absolutely no way. They might think of themselves as Hollywood royalty, sure. But this is somebody who comes from a lineage. And the internet seems to be very positive that it's Rumor Willis. And after watching that clip from Empire, it seems that it's absolutely Rumor Willis, a woman who has a giant lion face tattoo on her arm and sings exactly like this and has the exact same height.
And has that ability to perform, which comes straight from her lineage, and the fact that she has been on camera her entire life, basically. There's a level of confidence there that is not, you're not just immediately presented with. Like, she's got that.
Royalty just feels like a bit much to me. That's the hang up I have with that particular guest.
I like at least that her phrasing is, you could say that. Which for Hollywood kids, the ones that are considered within the royalty class are the ones that are the famous kids of a couple of famous people.
And there's the timer. So
perfect.
Look at this. We did this very, very well. So first episode,
we're
final
so
thoughts.
Awesome.
Go for it.
It made me watch the second episode.
It made you watch the second episode. You know what? What a great thing to have achieved, Kathy. How did you feel about the first episode?
I am a sucker for this kind of fanatic, fantastic ridiculousness, and I loved the costumes. I loved the set pieces. I loved the masks. The whole premise of it. Little nitpicky about the dancers, but we don't have to get into that necessarily, but we're going to get into that real quick. I was very disappointed is the wrong word, because I know how hard dancing is, and I'm guessing that they had to learn the couple performances that the background dancers had to do. I was just very disappointed with the choreography behind it. It's felt sloppy and lazy. And like my 10-year-old could probably do a lot of those moves better. And that makes me sad. I think they spent all of their budget on the costumes and didn't really take time to present the choreography behind it. That made me sad.
Okay. My final assessment of episode one is it, like Kelly, is the garbage that made me want more trash. It is my kind of trashy singing competition show. And one quick final round, favorite performance of the performers from episode one, I will start. Mine was definitely Monster, not just because I love Queen and love that song, but it was just, it was glorious and surprising and beautiful. And lovely, absolutely lovely.
Same. I would also vote Monster for the same sort of thing, and also because I'm impressed with anyone that can sing a Queen song convincingly, because from a technical standpoint, that's not an easy thing to do.
Oh no.
Yeah. My money's on Peacock. I am a huge sucker for that style, and the presentation and the way that he moved just hit all of the right buttons for my favorite types of performances. So Peacock was mine.
Well, in keeping all with right. that, let's get down to business. And we've defeated episode one. Moving on to episode two. Episode two, like we have said, leads off with a showstopper, leads off with somebody in a rabbit costume, covered in straitjacket straps, with a kind of like Batman villain level addled twitch to
this
it.
This is definitely a bunny from Arkham Asylum.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, the clip package, synchronized singing. It's gonna be me. Those are both NSYNC references, not to show my colors or anything.
Additionally, the straitjacket and
you would say that there are no strings attached to him, would you say, Kathy?
One might say such a thing if one would be desperate to pull out additional NSYNC references. Yeah.
Now, this individual has said that they've done time on stage and behind a mask. And so it seems like the entire internet is convinced, and until he directly denied it today, that it was Joey Fatone.
Okay.
I did not think it was Joey Fatone, just for the record.
Okay. There is that mainly, possibility that it is a Backstreet Boy dropping NSYNC references.
Right, throw it off.
To throw it off. It could also be Joey's best friend, Lance Bass.
No, it's not, because my extensive NSYNC knowledge knows that Lance is a bass, and there's no way he could sing that high. My vote would be for JC
Chazé. If it is a member of NSYNC, that's what people are starting to come around to, that it might be him. There are also people who think that it's a Backstreet Boy throwing out false references.
I don't
think this show is that devious, because I don't think this show is that smart.
Additionally, people on the internet think that it's Donnie Wahlberg.
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. And the whole fact, like, that's the whole thing where they're like, oh, Jenny isn't recognizing her own husband. And it's like,
Donnie Wahlberg has never been that good of a dancer on his best day.
No.
100%. Yeah.
Or singer, for that matter.
Or like, any of it. Yeah.
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 Like, that package is that package does not come in a Wahlberg flavor.
I mean, it might be a controversial opinion, but among the new kids on the block, Joey McIntyre and Jordan Knight were the ones who could actually sing and dance and brought the average up for the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my personal vote is JC. But it would be hilarious if Nick was from the Backstreet Boys, because that's something that he would totally do. Again, from my extensive boy band knowledge, that, you know, I'm best friends with all of them, and I would say that this is true.
No, this is important expert information. This is what the listeners are. This is what they come
this
to
is
the
why
mask
the people tune in.
to the musical for some. I'm screwing up the title of the show on.
I know
first
we can't
episode.
Even get
I'm
that
doing
part right.
So well at this. This is such a great idea.
So, Now, he, what was the song that he sang? I want to just sort of remind you.
Livin' La Vida Loca.
Livin' La Vida Loca. Okay. In that twitchy rabbit costume. Because then, like, during the interview portion, like, he sort of stood there and had that, like, nervous twitch, like, the whole time. And was pretty convincingly creepy in that outfit, I would say.
Yeah.
So I had to give whoever it is a certain amount of credit for, like, really portray, like, he really perpetrated that that identity the whole way through.
So we're saying no matter what, it's either an NSYNC guy or a Backstreet Boy. There's no way it's a 98 Degree or an O-Town.
No.
No way. No way. Okay. We're putting a seal on it and moving on to Alien, who grew up in the public eye, very controlling family. They indicated there are people out there who think that this is Kendall Jenner. There are people out there who think this is LaToya Jackson. There are people out there who think that this is Tracy Braxton from Braxton Family Values, Tony Braxton's sister. What do we think about Alien, who has style, pizzazz, and presence to spare?
Strictly from height level, she seems extremely short, and there was the comment about her being petite. I could totally see her being Kourtney Kardashian. That would be my guess. She's way too short to be Kendall. Again, all of the information that I know is extensive because I love this garbage trash deliciousness.
No, again, this is something. This is
you're the expert.
This is
yes.
This is why you're the unicorn oracle of knowledge.
Additionally, how she stands is very. It happens a lot on the show, like when she's quote unquote performing as. Like when they're doing photo shoots or whatnot, that model pose, that's her pose.
Okay.
So that's who my money is on is Kourtney Kardashian. Additionally, she had just enough movement to like, she had a few moves with like her hand and like, in the choreography that she did. It was practice, but not well known. So she isn't a performer. She doesn't do a lot of those types of performances. So it's no one that has an extensive history of whatever. And again, because some of her sisters have done, you know, Dancing with the Stars, I don't think she feels comfortable enough to do the dancing part, but singing, I bet she could probably make that up.
Kelly. Do you think we're in Kardashian County?
is there a bridge? It never occurred to me that it would be a Kardashian because they have so many other shows. And I generally don't watch like reality stuff. I like a singing competition. That's really what reeled me into this. And then like the level, again, shout out to the costume people on this program because the level of exceptional costume design is fantastic. This one in particular, was this the one from San Francisco?
No.
I
know.
I feel like the... Okay,
that's
Poodle. Okay, I have a definite guess about Poodle, but...
me too.
For this one, I wasn't really sure who it would be, but like none of them... I know a lot of people have bandied about Kardashians for a couple of these spots, and it just never occurred to me that it would be a thing that one of them would do.
Yeah.
Because they have their own things going on. Like, every one of them has their own stuff.
Yeah,
so I never thought it would be.
The fact of the matter is, though, is that Kourtney doesn't actually really have a thing going on. She doesn't have a makeup line. She doesn't have a jean line. Again, my extensive knowledge is leaking out here. But
leak all over it.
Yes.
Please.
she hasn't had another baby. She's not... they're not really doing Dash, their clothing stores anymore. And
so she's not getting married. She's not getting divorced. She's not having a kid. So here we are.
So this would be something. And, you know, the whole tables are turned. You can't see me, but I can see you type of a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's come out a variety of times and like she doesn't love the attention, which is part of the reason why she doesn't do a lot of the other things.
Oh, okay.
And one of the plot lines last season, or possibly the last season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, was the fact that she doesn't do anything, and she hasn't been doing anything, and yet her schedule is the most difficult to manage. So
Kathy Campbell, the phantom fifth judge, the true detective, one might say, of the Masked Singer,
yes,
locking down who Alien actually is. You know what? You've convinced me. We now move on to Raven, yet another in the line of, well, there's literally no way that this isn't person X. They are used to listening to other people's stories. No one talks more than her. She went through a tragic loss. This clip package was also source of my favorite, and it's difficult for me to use that term with reference to Robin Thicke, talking over the talent instance of Robin Thicke, where in almost like he's doing a bad impersonation of his father, Alan, he goes, "Married to someone famous." When they talk about, when this person talks about losing someone very dear to them, I'm like, yes, douchebag, bravo. You've solved the case, Detective Robin. And then at the end of the clip package, they make a very, so thickly underlined with a magic marker reference to Crybaby, Johnny Depp movie from the 80s. There's no way this is not Ricky Lake, because they sing and have all of the entire biography of Ricky Lake right there.
Yeah. That's her life. Yep. I think. Yeah, I don't. There was no convincing on that one. I'm pretty sure that's who it is, too.
Yeah. And so in my first watch through, I felt bad for her because. And then in the second watch, I recognized it in all of the rest. During the initial introduction, when Nick Cannon says, "Release the blank," every single time. Like, seriously, writers, you couldn't think up anything more creative.
Look, the writers probably did, but Nick Cannon doesn't need cue cards, because Nick Cannon speaks in the third person about Nick Cannon.
Good point. But when they're doing the very first walkout, I don't think the people in the mask know that they're being filmed and that's what they're being presented, because every single one is not doing the same walk that they've done when they get onto the stage. They're more hesitant. They're more together. They're more, oh my goodness, are my wings going to hit the walls type of a walk. And this was the one that was so much more obvious, because that I was just like, oh my gosh, somebody hold her, she's gonna fall. And then comes out and is like, oh, I'm the Raven, look at me walking. And it's like, whoa, now somebody needs to like let them know that this is the film section that they're going to be utilizing to introduce this character.
Yeah.
It made me sad.
So speaking of obvious things, there's no way that Pineapple wasn't Tommy Chong, because Cheech Marin actually works regularly.
Right.
Yes.
And
we've heard him sing.
We've heard
him
sing.
And that's not what he sounds like.
Not at all what he sounds like. So Jenny McCarthy, the Cheech and Chong expert on the panel,
right,
precisely guessed this one wrong. And as incredibly plain as day to it, to anybody who's, I would say, a casual Cheech and Chong familiarity.
If you are aware who they are,
you know which one this is.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that was hilarious. Now Poodle.
Oh my goodness, Poodle.
They come from a musical family. This was something that didn't track with who I thought it was, because it wasn't part of their biography that I was aware of necessarily. 415 stand up, two clues in one, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
First Amendment speaking their mind. We have a stand up comedian who is very proudly from San Francisco. Pride colors all over the place. And we'll get to the other clue in a minute. But I found myself going, well, this has to be Margaret Cho. I didn't know she came from a musical family. I know that she's tried 3 or 7 times to make music happen for herself.
She's made records.
She's had released songs, but it hasn't been something that she's broken through with.
Right. It's certainly not what she's known for.
No, certainly not what she's known for. The I'm here for your honor thing didn't quite make that much sense for me either. I mean,
I have nothing for that.
It could be somebody else, but it very much feels like Margaret Cho could absolutely be on this show and is exactly the right kind of fit for this show.
I thought it might be the here for your honor is the part that I still have a hard time with, but the rest, I was thinking maybe Zelda Williams.
Zelda Williams, daughter of Robin Williams.
Daughter of Robin. Who got into some, you know, he like when you literally use every word in the English language all at the same time, you're going to run into trouble with somebody. So surely he was a guy, you know, he did stand up and had a controversy every once in a while. And, you know, Aladdin is a musical, so she could come from a musical family.
Yeah, the musical family thing is what, you know, with Margaret Cho, it's more, I'm lacking information and I don't know if that's a commonly known part of her biography. With Zelda Williams, it feels like a weird fit. It feels like like an ill fit. And when you mentioned Zelda Williams yesterday in the chat, I was thinking, oh, that would be interesting. And then I thought, oh, but Zelda Williams also kind of runs away from this kind of spotlight type of stuff.
Yeah.
And is perfectly happy.
Well,
like,
runs away from attention because all the attention she was getting was not her own.
The
only attention she ever got was because of her dad. And if she did something like this, where in this case, she's judged on her own merits, then maybe, like, that was the thing I was thinking of. You know, coming from a musical family, like, obviously, if you are a person, you know, like, if the other one I thought of was the Mamas and the Papas, like, maybe it's a kid from, you know, like, Michelle Williams has a kid or something like that, or Michelle Phillips, I mean. Like, you know, like, the Wilson Phillips group is old enough to have their own children now who could be doing their own thing, you know, and that would be a musical family. And, you know, what's more San Franciscan than California Dreamin', right? So, like, I was thinking somebody along those lines who has gotten attention but hasn't gotten attention for who they are, but, like, who they are in relation to their family. Like, you know, like, Zelda Williams never got attention for being Zelda Williams. She got attention for being Robin Williams' daughter, not for being herself and not for, you know, anything that she did. And
breaking news, breaking news.
She spent the last 6 months in Outer Mongolia and there's no way it's her, right?
Internet unicorn. Internet unicorn coming in from the field.
I have discovered why Margaret Cho could be,
and it is
the poodle, specifically for the Your Honor part. Her father is a lawyer. And that's why she's doing it for Your Honor, doing it for her dad. Additionally, she also played a paralegal in Drop Dead Diva.
That's true.
So very important ticks off the thing. Another suggestion was Maya Rudolph.
Oh,
Maya Rudolph's too busy being Maya Rudolph.
Right.
She's got like,
I mean,
a basketball team worth of children or something.
She
She's
just
very busy
proposed
woman.
To Amy Poehler, for crying out loud.
I saw that and was like, okay, this needs to be brought up and discussed because it's hilarious. But that was a suggestion that I found very amusing.
I would love if it was just
I doubt it.
You know, that would be great, but
definitely not RuPaul, because holy cow, come on, Jenny McCarthy. Really, RuPaul?
Kathy, we're just gonna table all discussion of guests from the judges panel on the show because they're
terrible.
Either idiots or not serious.
Yeah,
I mean, for example, Ken Jeong knew for sure that this was Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a result of that clue. So,
but see, it's so funny because when he does suggestions like that, and like Barack Obama,
President Obama,
you know that he's joking. Mm-hmm. Like, you 100% right. He's doing that for the bit. Whereas
his delivery is great, but it's a bit.
You can't tell. If
she's
serious or not.
If I didn't already love him enough, I love him about 1,000 times more for slipping in the Robin Thicke, you're a douchebag joke.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I died.
It was like he had that in his back pocket and he was like, I'm going to do this.
He just knew.
Sometime.
Yeah. Not if, but when.
It's just going to happen. Now, moving on to the literal queen
bee,
who is also known as an empress, who had four guys dancing behind her, four pips on her collar, you might say, who started performing in the 1950s. There's literally no way that this is not Gladys the Empress of Soul Night. Now, there are people who were thinking maybe it was Dionne Warwick, maybe it's Tina Turner. But just
I was team Tina Turner. That's how this all started, because I saw Moises post on Twitter and I went to the incomparable Slack and I went to the TV channel and I said, hey Moises, I just saw your tweet and I think the bee is Tina Turner, and we were off to the races.
You said Tina Turner and I was like, okay, I have to be polite.
Yeah.
Kelly,
but it's
how
not
dare
Tina
you.
Turner.
Kelly, the Empress of Soul, how could you not know the voice of the one, the only Gladys Knight? I honestly hope that this somehow turns into some sort of a career resurgence for Gladys Knight, who I feel like, it's not just a matter of people wondering, wait, she's still alive? But it's that nobody has known what to do with her, and she can still rock it. She can still kill it. I would love to see her on dumb New Year's coverage more than other singers of her generation.
I would like to see her on New Year's coverage more than I regularly see one of the judges on this show
McCarthy
on New Year's
once
Eve coverage.
Again, Jenny McCarthy, number one favorite topic of conversation of the musical persona.
So in my defense, it was just that I had completely spaced on the Empress part.
Oh, no, it's okay.
And I was trying to think queen bee, who would that be? Like, that was all I could think of was... And then somehow Tina Turner was what got stuck in my head, and I listened again for Tina Turner, and it sounded pretty close. But yeah, I'm totally team Gladys Knight.
In our heart of hearts, all of us want Tina Turner to have a comeback because we all miss her.
Yes.
So we're running out of time. Final thoughts. Episode 2. Does this pair of episodes send us towards something that is the reason that we hastily, some might say ill-advisedly, decided to suddenly do a podcast about this trash garbage fire of a show that is delicious fiery garbage that goes down smooth?
Go down smooth.
Do we feel like they have given us the right set of chess pieces for us to affect? I don't know what we're going to do for the remaining 8 weeks of this thing.
I think we will do what we always do, and that is talk amazing conversations about performances and costumes.
Kathy,
and,
you know what my favorite thing to do is? Talk amazing conversations.
Yes, those are the words that I utilize out of my mouth.
I like to talk amazing conversations. Sometimes.
Oh... Yeah, but we've met all of the performers because there are 12 quote-unquote celebrities performing, and so we have met them all. So this next show will be apparently assuming some combination of the face-offs between these same, I guess, 11 people.
And what I'm wondering, now that we've met all of them... Now that we've met them, what I'm curious about is
how they fill all that empty time.
Well, right? If they're going to continue to give us clue packages, like for the people who continued, are they going to film a new set of clues to give us a slightly different reveal of information about each of these people? So that's what I was wondering was, like, now that we've met all of them, like, yeah, what are they going to do with all that time? And that's what I'm thinking is maybe we get
the time as it was.
Yeah. Like, maybe we get new videos, you know, or maybe we get just Jenny McCarthy guessing everyone's Madonna. I don't know.
So going forward, we're going to be recording this show on Thursday night, the day after it airs. So we have a little bit of time to have our internet unicorn
recover,
you know, clop those hooves all over the clackety clackety keyboard, and see what the internet's telling us, and report back in from the field. Kelly can dig through the series of handwritten notes and clues that are slipped under the door and over the transom to her, and yes. I can just keep making stupid jokes about how big of a douchebag Robin Thicke is. I feel like at the end of each episode, we should at least, because I mean this is a pointless stupid show about a pointless stupid show, we should hazard a guess as to who is going to be revealed on the next episode of the show. Who do we think is going to be demasked on episode 3 of The Masked Singer? Do you have a guess as to who you think is taking their helmet off? We've seen in some of the little clip packages, because this whole thing has been filmed and done and in the can. We've seen little clips of Bee and Alien taking their masks off, so we know that they are not the very last ones.
I've seen everybody taking their mask off at some point or another in the wide variety of clips, both in the show and then on all of the web pages that I've been to. Everyone has taken off the mask, which makes sense because everyone's going to take off the mask.
Okay,
at some point.
That one off. We've solved another mystery. Good.
Yep. You're welcome. My unicorn horn pokes through my newsies Sherlock Holmes hat.
Who is out? Who is out in the next episode?
My vote is Deer. I think Deer is going to be out next.
I think it's going to be Bunny because the rest of them are cool in some way or interesting in some way, and Bunny is nightmare fuel.
Okay. A vote for Deer, a vote for Bunny Wabbit. I'm kind of feeling like maybe Poodle. Maybe Poodle, because she's good, no doubt. But if, say, for example, they put her up against, Lion or one of the real heavy hitters, I think she may be an earlier exit than we expect. I feel like Deer might be one of those. In every singing competition, there's someone who is there until the third to last episode where you're going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why? No. This
How
doesn't
are you
make
still
any
here?
Sense.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you're pounding your desk over something that you really don't care that much about. And then you
kind of like this show.
And then you just stare into the middle distance, sipping a cup of tea for a few minutes, and go,
I'm really grateful I work from home, so no one else saw that happen.
There are more important things in life. Kelly, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter. You should find me on micro.blog. I am Verso in both places. And if you want to hear me talk about nerdier stuff, I host the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast 5 mornings a week over at macobserver.com.
Kathy, you're one of my favorite friends in my ears on various podcasts. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Soup. Links to all of my podcasts are on kathycampbell.com, as well as a variety of other things, one of which is Friends in Your Ears, where I talk to podcasters about their favorite podcasts.
She's Mrs. Soup on Twitter, Soup Lady if you're nasty. I am Moises Chuyan. You can find me on Twitter at Moises Chu. I've got some podcasts, all of which are on hiatus as I record this at ESN.FM, but I show up on the main Incomparable show from time to time, and I'll be here every week. I don't know why.
Yes!
We have a Twitter account for this, but here's the thing, listeners. The hilarious thing about it is I set it up. I was like, hey, I'm going to do a funny internet thing. I'm going to set the birthday to the day that we decided to create this show in the year 2019, January 14th, 2019. And the account was immediately locked because it said that I was under 13 years of age.
What?
And so Twitter is holding our account hostage, like Donald Trump is holding the U.S. government hostage. And I have submitted.
So there is something that Twitter cares about, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I've submitted a copy of my freaking driver's license. Honestly, I would be surprised if Twitter gets around to actually reviewing our case before we are done reviewing recording this show.
So that'll be a really fun game to play. We'll do an over under bet, you know, kind of like a, it's like a birthday.
We'll open each week with the Twitter account watch.
Exactly. Yes. So for the time being, you can find us on Twitter at The Musical Furs, because The Musical Fursona was too freaking
long for Twitter.
We found another thing that Twitter actually cares about. Two things that they actually care about. We're on the Incomparable Network, the Magnificent, Wonderful, Incomparable Network, where we've decided that we are going to do a member incentive thing in the month of March, which is Member Incentive Month around the Incomparable. We are going to, provided the live stream is free and we're allowed, who knows if Jason's going to let us, we're going to live broadcast, live running commentary over the final episode of this show, because literally nothing is sacred here on The Musical Fursona.
Not one thing.
Not nothing. One thing. By the time this episode is out, I think my main podcast will actually be back into vivid live existence. It depends on how my allergies hold up, but that show's Electric Shadow. You can find it wherever you find podcasts, and you'll especially like this big triumphant return episode, because it's 100 minutes with various members of the cast of Voltron Legendary Defender, and it's followed by an episode with the stars of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and we've been talking for about four times as long as future episodes of this show will take, because part of the condition of doing this was, guys, this should not take much effort or time. So let's go indulgent and stupid the first time, and get in, get out, and get back to drinking every time after. We thank you for listening. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Moisa. Thank you, Moisa.
Till next time. This is the fur. I don't know. I don't know. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Wearing a mask. There we go.
Yeah. That's the theme song.
Yeah.
Now we're competing against the random.org theme song for best Incomparable Network theme song.
It's true. I think we're going to win.
We might.